Is this thing on? Well, howdy ho to all the hoes and hows out there. We are back again for UCR Live. It's Friday here in Australia, Thursday night there in the States, and some weird time in the UK because I could never pick it. But anyway, wherever you are, if you're watching us live or you're watching us on replay, we thank you deeply for joining us. It's a fantastic four here again today. We're just too good at our own jobs to know what's happening. But, you know, we're going to change things up today. We're going to start with Vera. How are you this week,
Vera? Oh, my goodness. You're starting with me. You never start with me.
I know. I'm messing around.
Honored. I had a spa day with the girlfriend yesterday. I look all glowy and dewy. I had a big facial. Well, long facial. I don't know how big it was. I had a short day at work this week, or short week at work, because I had time off today and time off tomorrow. I don't know. Been a good week. Knock wood.
Knock wood. Well, that's good. We're starting off well. That's good. We enjoy that. And I'm going to keep us guessing.
Oh,
Tim, how are you? How's the week been?
Good. I'll ruin the momentum. I don't know what I complained about last week, so if I'm going to do it again, then too effing bad. I'm emotionally and physically exhausted. It's hot as hell. There's no reprieve in sight. And I'm just sore from head to toe. And I do nothing but drive around a 9 and 10 year old girl like a goddamn chaperone. I mean, a chauffeur. So that's been my week. So great.
We know that Tim doesn't handle the heat well by the sounds of it.
No, nope. My birthday's in January. I prefer the winter. My dog is a winter dog. I like snow. I like it cold. Like we're arguing over where to go for our honeymoon, and she keeps like suggesting tropical climates, and I'm like, no. How about like a cruise around Canada or Alaska, something like that? And I'm probably gonna lose that fight, but yeah. I mean, I enjoy my summer. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just not a huge fan of the heat. I'm AC fans all year long. So
I don't do humidity. It makes me sad in my heart. I was like, oh,
yeah.
No. I don't like being sticky. Oh, I don't like being sticky. It makes me sad. Yeah. You said you're sticky.
Only when I have big facials, but I didn't get one this week.
Yeah. So.
That's the one.
You took it from me. Damn it. That's what she said.
But it is like an oven outside. It's disgusting. And I have gotten, I don't know, 16 hours of sleep over the past four nights because my sister has kept me up till 2 fucking a.m. in the morning putting her wedding invitations together. So that was a lot of fun. But, you know, I get to spend time. It's always a fun time with her and at Tim's house, you know. But, I'm with you. I don't like the winter, the summer. It drives me nuts. I hate boob sweat. I hate sweat. I hate everything about it. So I'm ready.
Two
for
different
the winter.
Things. Two different things, right? You've got to clarify.
Cold sweat, yeah, exactly.
Beautiful words for people to listen to on this podcast.
Yeah.
Ball sweat. That's great. It's great times. I think that people are really happy that they've tuned in. Ball sweat. Why not? Okay, well, we've got
would
a lot to talk.
Boob sweat?
No, I'm boob good. Sweat? I'd rather know. I'd rather
sweat?
No sweat. I'd just rather be. I'd rather be an aircon, air conditioning, yeah. Or a pool. Right? That's the dream.
Exactly.
Air conditioning or a pool, that you can swim into the air conditioning and get out. That's the dream. As I said, we've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to get straight into this week's
hot load of hot topics.
Now, Today's show is going to be a weird one. Just saying. We got some weird topics today. We're going to start with a story that was breaking last week when we jumped online. But video footage of the slap, well, the second slap that has resounded around the world has gone live. The video from inside the casino, which saw Britney Spears being slapped. Not as dramatic as first reported. She wasn't knocked to the ground, but he still clipped her pretty damn hard. And you can hear the guys with her going, "That's Britney Spears, man! That's Britney Spears!" Like screaming, "That's Britney Spears! That's Britney Spears!" It's like, that's it. But it does support her narrative because the basketball player in question came out and said that he was grabbed from behind and didn't see what happened. Britney has, once again, as she does, taken to social media to let her side of the story be known. There's quite a lengthy statement here regarding what happened, but it does support her, you know, her story. It is sad that she had to put in their traumatic experiences are not new to me and I've had my fair share of them. I'm like, oh, poor Britney. But yeah, she tapped him on the shoulder, which the video supports. There was no grabbing from behind. And the guy that hit her was super tall, super huge. So he got her on the downward swing.
Really freaking tall.
That was, it was intense. It was, I still think, why are we slapping people? Why are we slapping people?
Yeah, just for like a tap. I don't get that.
Because we live in a world where celebrities have to have bodyguards.
The amount of shit that's getting thrown at people and...
Yeah.
Who goes to concerts to throw stuff at people? I don't get that.
But that's why people need bodyguards, and that's why bodyguards respond the way they did. I mean, it's very unfortunate, and yes, I don't like violence, but...
Miss Yvette, we will say... I'm cool. I'm cold. It's quite cold here. I'm sitting in a heated room. It's
not cold here.
Hoodie on everything, but you guys are sweating it out. But yeah, I just like, when does the world go, we have the right to touch anyone we want, whenever we want? It's like, when you raise your
hand, do
keep your hands to yourself. Your hands to yourself. You don't.
Keep your hands to yourself.
But that's the thing. Everyone's like, I'm going to touch this person because I can. Someone said I can, or not even someone said I can. I've decided that my experience is more important than everyone else's. I'm going to touch this person, or I'm going to throw this at this person because I want to do it. It's like, dude.
Yeah, you know, that's now that you say that, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't get like starstruck, but like I've been in plenty of situations where a celebrity or an athlete or a musician has been within reach, you know, and never have I thought to myself, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah, first,
I reached out and touched this person.
Yeah,
what does that do for me? Because my friend. They're only going to tell me I'm an asshole when I tell them the story. Like, hey, man, I got to touch. Like, we joke around a friend of a friend last year at a golfing event, a PGA event, got a high five from one of the golfers. And his friends still mock him to this day for talking about it. So it's not even like, it's like a, you know what I mean? Like, why? Like, I don't get it. There's no collectible there. There's no autograph. There's no, you know, it's just a story, and it's the same story as, oh, hey, I was in a restaurant and so-and-so was there. It was pretty cool. You know, like, you don't need to swarm these people. I don't get that.
Yeah. I think unless they initiate something, you shouldn't be touching anyone, really. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've had my fair share of celebrity encounters, and I don't engage unless I'm engaged first. Like, that's
right.
Like,
right.
They are people. They are living their lives. So unless they turn and go, "Hi, how are you? Oh, good, thanks. Shake your hand. Like, whatever, hug, whatever they're doing." that's how you react. You don't turn into like a raving idiot like these super fans.
Yeah,
like,
right.
People that these people at concerts are claiming their fans throwing things at people. Like, well, I don't get
like,
that. I don't,
like, no rules. Like everything goes now.
Are we monkeys again? Like, what's happening? We're just throwing things at people.
Well,
like,
well, aren't celebrities getting hurt now?
Yeah.
Didn't Harry Styles get hit in the eye?
Harry Styles has been hit repeatedly. He usually gets smacked in the groin because of where Harry gets hit in the nuts a lot with by flying. Yeah, no, BB Rexha was the one who copped it. That mobile phone.
I was gonna say someone recently just got like a girl got like stitches or something, didn't she? Like in the forehead or something.
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But it could have done serious damage to her eye. Like those are hefty things. We've all done the scroll in bed and drop phone on face. It's like that's not fun. So imagine that coming at you at 100 miles an hour. You're like, ow.
Yeah.
Jesus, that.
Yeah,
I can't think of anything worse than throwing my phone either. It's like my extra heart or something. It's like,
you're gonna get that back after you've thrown.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
and now it's empty, motherfucker. So congratulations. It's like, good work. But look, everyone has a side to their story, and Brittany said she had something to tell us this week. She was like, there is an announcement. There's big announcement. The book is actually coming out. Britney Spears, The Woman in Me, her memoir / autobiography is coming out October 24th. Now, she says that she has had to have a lot of therapy in order to write this book. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly comes of it, because there's been a little bit of interpretation of her Instagram posts. When she announced it, the way that she said, enjoy the book, and go back and watch it, it sounds a little bit sarcastic. So people are wondering whether she is like just over people asking questions and she's like, well, here you go, enjoy the book, or that someone has got the publishing company or whoever has gotten their hands on the book and edited it to suit a narrative that is not necessarily hers. So there's a lot going on in the world of Britney Spears. There's new music coming apparently in the next couple of weeks that has nothing to do with her. It's all old demos and stuff that will.i.am has recorded with her, and a very on TikTok, one of the Instagram fake Britney girls got approached to be in the video, and they were going to deep fake it and use technology to put Britney's face on her body because she dances the same as Britney. So yeah, there's the truth is coming, but how much truth do you think will come from a book like that? Usually you got to wait until someone dies till we get the truth.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much she had a part in actually writing it. Like, how much was it really her? Like, was it really her, you know, who wrote it? Or was it just, like, just part of her and then, like, the rest is just, like, filler? You know, I don't know. It's hard.
I would think that after years of being in that conservatorship and essentially a prisoner, that she's got no holds barred. There's nobody that she's afraid to offend at this point, you know?
I feel like that was very fast, though.
The book's apparently been written since last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of therapy in a year.
That is if that's all you've got to do with your time, like as long as she's working. You know, all she does is get on.
I couldn't tell my truth until my mother was dead. Well, she's dead, and I don't pull my punches. I got no care about offending someone.
Yeah, I think especially with this, though, it's so entwined with the entertainment industry, and because of the relationships that she's had, these are big names that she'll be talking about in the book. I'm sure Justin Timberlake will be quite concerned. I'm sure, you know, who else has she dated? There was Colin Farrell, all those people that she was like linked with.
Colin Farrell's embarrassed himself. I mean, his resume is no walk in the park. And Justin did apologize for not taking better care of Brittany. You know,
Justin's hurt.
Whatever.
Justin's
he can say whatever she wants about him.
Yeah. You know? And then his lawyers will get involved. It'll be good.
Yeah.
But look,
once his lawyers get involved, he's already admitted to culpability.
That's all right. I've put my pre-order down on Audible, so I'll be all over it. I got Audible credits. Let's go. I hope that she does the reading. Hey, y'all, it's Brittany Spears. This is my laugh. It'll be great if it's her.
It's funny, though, because, even my husband, now that he's more on TikTok, he's like, I saw a video of Britney Spears. He's like, she looks like shit. He's like, I used to have a crush on her when I was a kid. He's like, and now she just looks like death. He's like, something's wrong with her. I'm like, I know. I've been talking about this with people. You're just coming into this now, but it's just to get an outside perspective, he doesn't know. Yeah, he doesn't. He's not on social anything.
You mean Joe doesn't watch us?
No, he doesn't do. He doesn't have Facebook. He doesn't have Instagram. All he has is TikTok, and he's not happy with that. But my God, just the realization that she's falling apart, and it's just funny to see it in his eyes.
Look, it's her own. I'm sure that as we get closer to the story being released, we'll get bits and pieces leaked out to us. It'll be sensational and scandalous and all the drama. But look, as I said, I'll be reading it, and I think that she's going to make she's already made a mozza on the deal to write the book, and I'm sure she's going to make a mozza in royalty, so it'll make up for all that money that Daddy stole, the billions and billions of dollars that her dad stole. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed. So we'll go from... we're doing a lot of recapping actually at the beginning of this week. We'll go from the Princess of Pop to the Queen of Pop. Madonna has officially released a statement after her hospitalization, looking a lot more like herself as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Looking a lot more like herself, obviously still tight.
Yeah.
But not as swollen and post-surgery. I think that we don't realize how serious it was, actually. We talked about it, but she was, she was not breathing. She was unresponsive. She was put on a ventilator.
Septicemia is lethal. People die of that all the time.
It's not good. And she's like, I'm coming back and I'll be... There's, of course, because Madonna, everyone's like, yeah, I'm sure you were concerned about your kids. I'm like, I feel like that's a random flex. For someone who has adopted so many kids, and those kids have the best of everything. I don't know if you've ever seen her kids on social media. They all do whatever they want, play piano, ride horses, all that. Those kids have the best of everything they could ever want. And they genuinely adore her. So I don't think people can...
I was going to say, I'm sure if she's a loving mother, that would be your...
Yeah, everyone's like, she cares about her kids. I'm like, why would she adopt... she's got two biological kids. Why would she adopt, four other kids if she didn't care about them?
Yeah.
It's not like that makes your headlines anymore. Yeah. It used to when she did it once. It's like... So, she might actually just, care about people too. But, especially if she does, some of her kids are younger. She's got old, her oldest is an adult now, but she's got younger kids. There always is, there always will be, just venom aimed at her because she is who she is and she does what she does. And she's still going to do this tour. She thinks she's going to be ready to go by October. But also... It's a big this tour is a monster. I reckon this will have to be the last time.
Well, this is what's keeping her young, is this kind of touring.
It's monstrous. This thing's going over over 100 dates like all over the world, and they haven't even announced.
That's a physical feat, like training for the Olympics.
Especially her kind of tours. If you've never seen her live, she goes out. She goes well and truly out. Not to like Pink standards where she's flipping through the air, but she pushes that body pretty damn hard. She's dancing. She's running around. She's doing the things. But I wouldn't be doing it. Like, fuck that for a joke. I'll sit on a stool and have a little ding, ding, little moment. But
did anybody more power. See the clip of Taylor Swift
doing what?
The trap door didn't work, so she took off and run down the runway at her tour.
Yep, I love it. I love that. Wow, shit.
Oh no!
that stage is monstrous too, and she's halfway down the catwalk and she realizes that the fucking trapdoor's not working. She's like, you can see it on her face, she's like, motherfucker. She's like, because that show is so well timed that like if she misses a cue, she misses a cue. It's like there's no pause in that thing once it starts. I don't know if you have you guys seen any of the video of her tour? She performs right at the end of the catwalk for one of the songs, just like singing, and then all of a sudden the stage turns to water and she dives into the stage and her, like a projection of her swims up the catwalk and up to the stage. So apparently there's video of it going wrong one night where they mistimed it, so she started swimming and she's only just dived at the end, so it's like as does the show anything that big, they're wrong, but it's just like, oh, that's a lot of pressure. I know
what, stage manager.
I know what that pressure feels like. You're like, oh my god, I'm gonna ruin things. Like, when we did the Olympic opening ceremony, I did the Olympic opening ceremony in the year 2000, and we had to build scaffolding to dance on in the middle of this huge arena on top of trucks. And it had all gone well, but if the scaffolding was off by like a couple of centimeters, the lift that comes up the middle of it would catch the lip and flip the whole thing and kill everyone. So that was always exciting. That never happened, but we were about to go on stage and I couldn't find two pieces of my scaffolding. I was like, the panic and sweat and sheer terror. I'm like, we're about to go on in front of millions of people and I'm going to be the reason that this doesn't work. I'm like, freaking out. And just as we were about to leave, I saw it sitting just at the edge of the entrance. I was like, oh my God, grabbed it and ran.
Now I have to ask, Steven, was it misplaced because you did not put it away?
No, because when we finish, so at the end of the performance, we started to break it down, but we left everything on top of the trucks so that stage crew would take everything and put it back in the same spot every time, except for that time. I was like, time to do it in front of international.
It's been a talent problem where the talent failed to return the prop.
No, not a talent problem. The talent is reliable. Thank you. The talent is reliable. So we'll keep going with our updates. We talked about Keke Palmer and Darius Dalton last week, and you know that dress that she wore at Usher. That you know we all had varying opinions on. Turns out Keke had an opinion on whether to keep him around, and Darius went bye-bye. They scrubbed each other off each other's social medias and all that kind of stuff. So it looks like, baby daddy's in the shit at the moment. But there was a big revelation this week from someone I didn't expect. It turns out misogyny is alive and well. I didn't know it was going to come from Jonah Hill.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay, so Hill's ex-girlfriend, she is a pro surfer, has kind of let slip a little bit of the behind the scenes of their relationship and, you know, the standards at which he held their relationship. So I'll read the text message which she made public. So this is from pro surfer Sarah Brady. This is Joan. This is a text message from Jonah. Plain and simple. If you need surfing with men, boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men, to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places and from your wild recent past, beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, I am not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it. There will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for romantic partnership. My boundaries with you based on the way on the ways these actions have hurt our trust.
Oh.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
All that screams to me is I'm a really insecure fat kid and everything you do terrifies me.
Yeah.
A lot of it is the thing that's off-putting to a lot of people, and there's the argument is going both sides. He's using a lot of therapy speak in what he says and how he delivers it, and everyone's like, "Oh, good on him for being clear about his boundaries and da 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 da." But to me, it's very gaslighty. Like, it's putting all of that insecurity onto her and going, "Well, this everything wrong is with this relationship is because of you." It's not the fact that his points of view may be, you know, a little bit misogynist, a little bit dated, a little bit, you know, not in keeping with someone who is in the public eye or before you met them. But I think it's a very different situation if all of us, he was dating Jenny regular from down the street who had no social media presence and all of a sudden started dating Jonah Hill and putting bikini pictures up. That's different. The woman's a pro surfer. What does he want her to do?
She's going to be in bathing suits.
Yeah.
And he even had a problem with her posting a video of her victory. She was wearing a one-piece bathing suit.
And what is he, the friendship police? He's judging her friends? You can't get anything more than lunch with your friends? That's manipulative. That says more about him than it does about her. You know, nobody has friends who are saints.
Yeah. Right, to me, if I received that message, I would have been like, okay.
See you later.
Look, congratulations to him for setting up boundaries, but those boundaries are saying a lot about you. Dude, it's saying a lot about you. And
I get the sexy picture thing, I get that, but still, he went too far. He just went a little too far. And you are just pushing the boundary way
He's an actor. He has to kiss women. Don't. He has relationships in his movies.
There was the drama a little bit earlier this year that the co-star that wouldn't kiss him in his movie, and they had to CGI in the kiss.
Really?
There is a history now of him being a little bit awkward to work with, especially when it comes to women. And I don't know. Is that noble? Are we misconstruing that for gentlemanly care or something like that? Or is it misogyny?
I don't know, Tim.
Looks like a little bit of both.
I mean, are those boundaries extreme? Yeah, I think that they're a little extreme. Are they his boundaries? Yeah. I mean, who are we to judge him or disrespect him? I mean, he said it. Look, this is how I feel that our relationship should go. If you feel that these are inappropriate or you can't abide by them, then we split and no hard feelings, you know? He obviously has his own demons to work out, whether they're his insecurities or not. But it's not for us to sit here and judge. I mean, we did a round table with these four people about boundaries, a month ago, and about how you need to clearly set and establish your boundaries and that people need to respect them. I mean, he did that. Again, do I think that they're a little extreme? And it's over, right. Now, I think it's a little petty on her part that this is a private text message. between her and her boyfriend at the time, but now ex, I get, but now you're going to be like, oh, look at this guy. Like, I feel like she's kind of like poking fun at him a little bit. Like, oh, look how awkward and weird he is. I think that's a little juvenile for her to post a, you know, like I sent that text message to you in confidence and now it's out there for everyone to see. And now everyone's judging me on my character. I think that's a little harsh.
Again, we don't know what, you know, what initiated her posting that as well. There could have been some other stuff going on. There could not be, and it could be a shitty move. But I think going back to the with mentioning boundaries, I think your boundaries should kind of end when they infringe on someone else's like personal life / boundary. Like I think we can all have our own boundaries. Whether someone else chooses to live by them is their point, is their choice. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely. But I just think that, and like I said, those are pretty extreme, except for, like you said, somebody who was in the public eye beforehand doing all these things, and now you're like, well, now that we've been dating for a while, I think it's time you slow down. It's like, that's a little bizarre. Like, you knew what you were getting into. You knew who you were dating. Like,
remember back in the day when people would get married and you'd be like, oh, well, you don't have to work now because I'm gonna be the breadwinner. Your life can stop now because, you know, you're married and you don't have to work now. What if some people used to like genuinely enjoy working and they get married and their partner's like, oh, well, you don't have to work anymore. Like, maybe I want to work, dude. Like,
but her life is in a bathing suit. Period.
Yeah, right.
She's a surfer. Even if she retires from surfing, she's probably going to surf for her own personal enjoyment. And that would
Her uniform has literally been...
You know? Her friends are part of her life, whether he likes them or not. You know, I didn't love every friend that my ex had, but, you know, they were his friends. As long as I didn't have to go out with them, he could go out with them. You know? he's very judgy about her friends and their life choices. Like, their life choices should not impact him at all. I think there's a lot of not just boundaries, but manipulation in that text. And I agree, her releasing it to the public is, you know, attention-seeking and manipulative too, but I don't know. There's a lot I didn't like in that text.
Yeah, I don't enjoy when people use mental health speak as a weapon either. Like, these are my healthy boundaries, da 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 da. Like, we know that you've been to your therapist. It sounds like you got a therapist to come and draft this response and go, here, this is gonna make you seem good. This is gonna make you not seem like there's, you know, underlying issues here. It's like, you can dress it up however you want. Yes, they are your boundaries, but some of them are very dated. This is not 1952. And if that's how he chooses to live his life, more power. Like,
I feel like someone doesn't say that.
But
when you're stating your boundaries, you should say them in, when you do this, it makes me feel
different.
Not in the way that says, you can't do this.
You cannot.
I think there's a way.
Why was this sent in a text message to begin with? Why are they not having this conversation face to face?
Right.
Why is this a fucking text message?
Right. We talk about that all the time on this show. Why can't adult people have adult conversations? And shit like this would never happen, like, doesn't have to happen if you could be honest with your partner and go, no, I don't enjoy this.
It almost seems like, you know, he was probably maybe filming or doing something somewhere. And he saw a post that she did because she was home surfing with friends or something. And then he reacted to it by sending a text message, you know? And it's like, even if that's the case, like, you pick up the phone, you're like, hey, like, you know, what's going on? You know, blah, 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 blah. And then you have a conversation. Like, if I had a problem with Melissa, like, the last thing I'm doing is sending a text message about it. Because normally, like, just a joke gets misconstrued because it's like, oh, why was it all caps? Why was the punctuation here? Why? Like, how many times do people are like, what were you talking about in this text? And it's like, oh, no, I meant it this way. And it's like, because you can't hear, like, inflection in a text message. So it's like so much gets lost in that communication. And I just hate that, you know, we as a side are so relying on that now that people have forgotten to like talk to each other. It sucks.
They don't come off as off the cuff texts, though. It's not like, oh shit, I just saw you in the bathing suit. This, you know, this is pissing me off. It comes off like I sit down, I made a list, I thought about it, I rewrote it.
I've had this conversation with my therapist, and we've workshopped it, and this is what we've come up with. It's like,
I could totally see him being somewhere across the country, seeing a picture, and then calling a therapist and be like, oh, she just posted this picture, and this is how I feel, and this is what's going on, and okay, well, this is what you have to say, and this is how you're going to communicate this to her, blah, blah, blah. But write it in a letter, and he just, you know, sends a text 2 hours later, you know, after, like you said, jotting down notes and, like, drafting it.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay. But,
it's pretty constructed for an off-the-cuff, you know,
text. Yeah, it was like bullet points. You know, it wasn't like a train of thought.
I know, not stream of consciousness.
I was a Jonah Hill fan until I read this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like a pretty okay dude. Like, I was like, oh, that's a little glimpse behind the mask there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's loaded with insecurities. I'm sure he's loaded with insecurities.
Being someone who is of a bigger size in Hollywood is not an easy thing, and he's lost all that weight. But again, proof that we say this all the time, losing weight doesn't solve the problems that made you heavy in the first place.
Well, he's lost all that weight, and he still doesn't fit the Hollywood standard.
Exactly, but he's gone after someone who is an athlete, capital A athlete,
whose whole life is nutrition and fitness, and
the people that she associates with would all be the same, you know, like males and females, they would be fairly fit people that are. To do it for a living, and I guess it has to be triggering in certain ways when you know you haven't felt good enough about X, Y, and Z, and then it's in your face all day, every day. Like, oh, okay.
You know, I think he's a great actor. I've loved some of the stuff he's done. You know, Wolf of Wall.
Definitely,
he was great. Moneyball. He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even thought he was wonderful in Superbad.
I'm surprised you saw Superbad, but
Superbad.
if you weren't with us on Tuesday, Luke and I actually did an assigned seating of an action movie. So if you haven't watched this week's assigned seating, we watched The Long Kiss Goodnight starring Gina Davis. Ooh, we had a lot to say. It was a long conversation, you know. As you do, once you get talking, things get crazy. All right, the show's going to take a distinctly weird turn from here. So I'm going to preface it and just say this is the view from here. Now, the topic of the show, the title of this week's episode is Crime and Punishment? There's been a lot in the media about a certain individual who has been paroled from prison. Leslie Van Houten, who was a member of Charles Manson's infamous family, has been paroled. She is now a free citizen. She is out there walking around, ladies and gentlemen, after... she was sentenced to 52 years, I think. Originally, she and the other family members were convicted and sentenced to death. But then, you know, we all know what happened with the death penalty in California. So they got the life sentences. She's tried constantly to get parole, and this is the... They just kind of gave up and went, oh, well, so well. My question for the panel being, is there not a moratorium on guilt anymore? I mean, this woman isn't innocent.
No, she's not innocent.
She's not innocent. She held down a woman and stabbed her 14 times.
What? She was part of the Sharon Tate murders?
Yeah. So the night after. So the Tate murders were one night. The LaBianca murders were the next night.
The LaBianca murder. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, she held a woman down and stabbed her 14 times.
Well,
this is not an innocent person.
No, she's not.
So,
but
yeah,
she was a teenager without a fully developed prefrontal cortex, the area of the brain that governs judgment. You know, she's 52 years is a long part of your life. I mean, that's her life. Her life is over. What is she going to do at 72?
Yeah. So with the LaBianca's lives when she killed them.
I get that. I mean,
part of me is with what Vera's saying. Like, okay, she's done her time. She's 70 something years old. Like, you know, what's she capable of at this point? But then the other half of me is still like, you didn't murder someone. You didn't shoot someone over a fucking pair of sneakers. You didn't fucking fire one round into a moving car and kill someone. You fucking stabbed somebody 14 fucking times while you held this lady down. And she begged and pleaded for her life. And you did it. I get that, you know, the child thing. I understand that, but I mean, these are fucking sick, sick people who need help. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in the room for the parole hearings, right? Like, so I didn't read reports. I didn't hear doctors. I haven't heard this woman speak. But I don't know that she is fit to be walking the streets at any age. At 72 years old, she's more than... She could absolutely grab a woman putting a kid on a bus and kill her in a car. You know what I mean? She's more than likely not looking to commit murder at this point, but you just don't know. You know what I mean? And it's one of those scary things where it's like, you don't know until it's too late. You know, that something happens and you're like, oh shit, we should have known. You know? And it's like, I mean, that's a flip of the coin. You know, you don't know until it's too late, but man, what a terrible group of people to be let walk.
Do we know what she's done while she's in prison? I mean, there are a lot of people who do get some rehabilitation out of prison. I don't think a lot. I'm not defending our penal system. It's kind of archaic and kind of backwards and, you know, but perhaps this woman, I mean, I don't know. But 52 years is, her life is over, and that's
tough luck. But honestly, tough luck. These are not people, and I know that they were under the sway of Manson, and he used drugs to make them pliable and to make them believe, you know, that what they were like. These women thought that they were going to grow up and turn into fairies. Like this is the shit that like he used like. Acid and LSD and all this kind of thing to program. Like, he was an evil genius, evil mastermind, and, you know, is notorious for whatever reason. But these are still the people that took part in these actions. They had, true, like, he would have, like, smacked them around a bit. Being in the family was a dangerous place to be. But even afterwards, when they were not with Charlie, they were the ones that were like, catcalling the victims' families in like the trials and laughing and dancing around. Like there was no remorse until that they had to go to jail and think about what they'd done and realize, oh fuck, I'm here for my entire life. Oh, better look like I've turned a new leaf. So when parole comes up in 23 years, I can do it. And she has gotten lucky that someone has let it slip through this time to go, okay, because no one else from the family has ever been given parole. Susan Atkins died in jail. She deserved to because she's a fucking horrible monster of a person. But I don't think that you get the option at going, oh, I'm better now. You still did it.
Here, you still, in this country, they do it all the time.
I don't think that's cool. She, like, if there was a question about whether she committed the crime, yes, okay, cool. If it was questionable that she was, that she actually did it, but we know that she held the knife, you know? We know that she plunged into a living person until they were no longer living. They played in their blood. They, like, stole from them. They, like, it's not a one-time, like, yes, one thing has changed the course of your life, but you can't go back and bring those people back to life. So why do you get a second chance?
Is it a second chance? She's not going to get married and have a family. She's not going to go to college and have a career. She has at best 10 to 15 years left in her entire life. She went in there.
That's 10 to 15 years of freedom though. And like my mother, who's worked in a prison for almost 30 years, you know, has described what it's like inside. And I know that it's not much time, but any time, like, she will die free. And that's a huge
that's a kick in the guts to be had. That's a huge kick in the guts to the family that, you know, her children had to those kids have to discover their parents murdered in their own home. That's never going to go away for them. That's not going to go away for their grandchildren or the children's children. That family is always going to know what happened to their great grandparents, and that this woman was allowed to go free.
Yeah.
So how much do their lives mean in the end? That, you know, oh, I'm better now. It's okay. I'm 70. Oh, aren't you sad for me? No, suck an egg and die in prison.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't. You're moving in next door to me. I'm not.
Advocate here. She's probably end up killing herself, honestly.
She is 70. Her life is over. She did serve a life sentence.
But let's look at, like,
two.
But also,
two life sentences.
So I don't know how much you guys know about the Manson family. Look at Linda Kasabian. Linda Kasabian didn't actually commit any of the crimes, but she did drive them to the crime scene. And the reason that she...
didn't commit any of the crimes.
She was implicated. So she's implicated, but the reason that she got off is that she turned state's evidence and went, blah. And she's the reason that any of these people ever saw any jail time.
Charles still wandered, didn't commit any of the crimes.
She's wandering around out in the wilderness somewhere. Like, do you know what I mean? She's alive. She's doing things.
At no point did Charles Manson pick up a knife and stab anybody.
Well,
no, he didn't.
And he still got off easy.
And he's been prison for life.
He's dead. So
he served his life sentence. Good.
But I think once you tattoo a swastika on your forehead, I think you pretty much sealed your own fate.
Oh, yeah.
At that point.
Right. There are times when I wished I believed in hell, because I do believe there are people that deserve to go, but... He did not actually stab anybody.
So, well, that time. He did stab people. He just didn't kill them. Charlie's just sad he writes bad songs. It's okay. We feel you, Charlie. One of us writes bad songs. Now, we did have this story posted. It's turned into True Crime Day. We did have this story posted, but we didn't talk about it, and I'm glad we did it because the story did a one fucking 80 after it came out. What the fuck happened with Rudy, y'all? Have you heard this story?
I didn't hear what happened after they found him.
So he was missing for... Missing for 8 years, like, just disappeared off the face of the earth, turned back up non-verbal. But he was just found outside of a church in Houston, and everyone's like, oh my God, he was found alive, rah, rah, rah. He vanished, 10 years, actually, nearly 10 years away. Non-verbal, traumatized, all that kind of thing. But investigators are now saying, and he's given an interview to them, that he was never missing in the first place. He was missing for 2 days. and he was actually locked in the basement of his house by his mother.
What?
Enduring horrible abuse.
We want his book.
Right?
Yeah. The police never searched the house? Like, I don't get that.
She lied to the police. She has...
Yeah, but... if I'm a cop looking for a kid, I'm kicking in every fucking door in the house. You mean, how many times do you hear that the kid... Remember the balloon kid a couple years ago? The guy, fucking kid took off in a balloon or some shit, and he was in the attic the whole time? And, I mean, you hear stories like this all the time. If you're... We covered a story about a guy dying in a house. They found his body under the steps with the Christmas kid. If you are missing, and I'm a cop on the case, I go, here's my heavy boots. Let's start taking down fucking sheetrock. And I destroy your fucking house before we start looking anywhere else because people are idiots. You understand? People are fucking disgusting, and they do terrible things like lock their kids in a fucking basement and abuse them for 10 years. Like, they make me sick. People like that make me sick. If you're a cop, you need to fucking leave no stone unturned before you even start going looking at other neighbors and shit, because most of the time, it's right inside the own house. This is crazy. This poor kid. His mother for 10 years?
So he said that he had the free will to leave, but his mother kept brainwashing him to stay in the house and, to be safe. So his half-brother and father had died, and he was her only child, her only family left, and she basically kept him. Now he was forced to sleep in bed with her, but there was no sexual assault.
Weird.
He was assuming the father role that was left, the void that was left. So the woman is not mentally stable at all. If she is declaring her son missing, then so she had to be damn good at it to make a 17-year-old go, oh, you know what, I will stay in the house. I'm not going to leave for fucking 8 years.
I was just going to say, he was 17 when this was all going on? 17? When he first disappeared?
No, 17 years old.
Right, that's what it says.
Yeah. Can't read. He's now 17. Wait, is that right?
Oh, so he was 7 when this.
When he disappeared.
My brain hurts. Sorry, it's been a long week. But why are we not arresting this woman?
Yeah.
She sounds like she's in a prison of her own mind. She might as well go and bounce off some walls in a padded room somewhere. I don't, especially people who can do it to their own children. It just blows my mind that.
To any child. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, especially your own child. Holy shit. People like that. There's a special place in hell for people like that. That's where they put pineapples up your ass.
JC Dugard just turned up out of nowhere. It's like, dude, she was down the street for however many years. That's fucked up. You really don't know what happens behind closed doors. It's very concerning. So I just say to people, I guess this is where, and I think this is part of the societal thing where people don't know their neighbors anymore. People don't know the people that live on their block anymore. So you certainly don't know what's happening behind their doors. I know when I used to grow up, that sounds bad, doesn't it? When I used to grow up, I haven't grown. I've grown out, not up. You knew that you could go to someone's house and you knew what happened in people's houses pretty much, especially my street. Our neighbors fought very loudly, and you could just hear in your house from their house, but. It's concerning because we've gone from this culture of be afraid of strangers, don't talk to strangers, to, hey, someone, some random I don't know is going to come and I'm going to get in their car and they're going to take me somewhere and I'm going to trust them to take me somewhere. Or some strange person is coming to bring me food. Or I'm going to go and stay in a complete stranger's house. Like, what is going on? But, like, it's like...
Well, for decades, we taught our children to beware of strangers, stranger danger, don't go walking on the street alone. 9 times out of 10, the boogeyman is someone you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Creepers everywhere. Creepers all around. It's very upsetting.
Did anybody catch the news that they may have a break in the JonBenet Ramsey case?
I did. I watched a TikTok just before we got online, and if that is true, that is fucking creepy.
What? The brother?
That dude.
Why? What are they saying?
So it's a guy that they've heard. Yeah,
a known
guy
pedophile who lived in that neighborhood that was
13 houses away. 13 houses away. And has been a suspect, but the only reason they haven't convicted him is because the DNA evidence hasn't supported that he was the one that did it. But that crime scene has to have been the biggest clusterfuck in the world.
Yeah.
Of course, you're not going to
explain. Isn't there a jailhouse confession?
Oh, he's confessed multiple times to his friend from high school. He confessed the week it happened that he had hurt a little girl, and the high school friend was like, "I think this is your guy," and has kept going back and keeps getting confessions from him, but they don't seem to want to act on the fact that this guy is basically going, "It's me. I did it. Look at me." Right.
Well, meanwhile, if it is him, they've completely ruined her father's life.
And the mother's life.
Well, the mother died of cancer.
Patsy went to a Great River thinking she fucking molested and beat her child and then killed her. Right. Like, she doesn't get a second chance, so why should Leslie Van Houten get a second chance? That's like that in the grand scheme of things. You don't get that.
If they had let Leslie Van Houten out at 30, I would be right there with you screaming, "This is bullshit."
It's still bullshit.
An old fucking woman.
How soon do you think it'll be till the book comes out, though?
If she writes a book, all the money goes to the victim's family. There's a federal law that in this country that.
I know. Because of Sharon Tate's family, mainly.
Yeah.
So, more power to the Tate family and everything they've done for victims' rights. I'm very sorry for them that this has happened on their watch. But you know, people do get older. Like, they can't be as prolific as they once were. Sharon's sister has. I actually spoke with her to do an interview for the show. But she was super busy and couldn't make it happen. So she's an amazing person who does so much for not only high-profile victims of crime, but, you know, everyday. Like, the reason that the laws are what the laws are in your country is because of hates and, what they went through. So, it's up. But, you know, I guess it's indicative of where America is at the moment too, with all of these laws and everything. Getting an overturn or let's look at that. Let's do something.
I know.
Funky.
Oh my god.
No, I think murder's still murder. That's okay. But enough about me being heated about life. I think it's time for our lovely Vera to get a little bit steamy in a favorite section we call Vera Vamps. Okay, V, here we go. 3, 2, 1, vent.
It's so ironic that you bring up laws being overturned because, you know, last week was a pretty momentous week for our Supreme Court, who's proving every day that they're the very farthest thing from supreme. They overturned affirmative action and they overturned anti-discrimination laws. There's no longer protected class of citizen. If you want to say that this person is affecting your right to freedom of religion, then you are allowed to discriminate against anybody. And the doors are wide open. There's already somebody who's got a big sign in her window that says, "I will not serve anybody who's transgender, who identifies as transgender or uses they, them pronouns." And now there's a lot of cisgendered people who use they, them pronouns. They have returned affirmative action saying it's wrong to give advantage to somebody because of race, except they didn't overturn legacy admissions to college campuses where rich white students automatically get admitted, even if they're fucking stupid, like George W. Bush, who was in Harvard, you know, and never got better than a C, but he was admitted to, or it might have been Yale, I don't remember, but his father was in Harvard or Yale and whatever college it was, and he was a legacy, and he was dumb as a box of rocks, but a well-deserving minority child who's worked really hard can't get special consideration for the fact that they grew up in poverty, probably working through their high school years, probably working for their entire time at college. You know, Clarence Thomas, who went to college on affirmative action, isn't brazen enough to stand there and say, it's a shitty program. Fuck you, Clarence Thomas. Well, you know what I want to tell you? If discrimination is back on the table and you're going to cry about a black mermaid or a black Santa, you don't get to claim a white Jesus. Fuck you very much. You are fucking with the history. Jesus was not white. He was Eritrean. He was brown skinned and he was brown eyed and he never was American and he didn't bless anybody with blonde hair and blue eyes. Fuck you. If you aren't willing to open your hearts to the inequities of our society, you don't get to claim Jesus.
I was like, I don't know where we're going with that. You've killed Christina. You're going to jail. You're going to jail with Leslie. Oh, you'll be out because Christina's alive.
It's sorry. You don't get to keep Jesus if you can't have a black mermaid, if you can't give black children special privileges, fuck you. You can't have Jesus.
I love magic white Jesus though.
Because he looks like you?
Oh yeah, he looks like I was about to say I love it, especially love magic white Jesus that's ripped on the cross. It's like, ooh, look at the abs. It's like, yeah. You know, that was CrossFit before it was CrossFit. You just drag around the cross.
CrossFit.
I got it. I got it.
Did he know he was gay because he thought ripped Jesus on the cross was sexy?
Oh man. We're all as if we weren't all going to hell already. We're definitely going now, but you know, that's part of the joys of uncensored radio. Thank you again for joining us, everyone. Tim, Christina, Vera, I have been Steve, and it's been a lovely journey into the weird and wonderful news of the world. But what I didn't know, Vera, how could you not tell me that the girls were fighting?
Oh, I
didn't know that Marjorie Taylor Greene called Lauren Boebert a little bit.
That's amazing. Are fighting.
Yes. The girls are fighting.
Marjorie got removed from that committee because she called Bobo a name.
She called her a little bitch. More on that.
A little bitch, and they took her off the committee.
Lauren's world is slowly falling apart as she gets divorced. I mean, what's the common...
Marriage's world is falling apart with her divorce, too.
And what's these women that are highly Christian and, you know, God's right to everything? What does he say about divorcees, you whores? So suck on that. Bye!
I think Madge is having an affair with Kevin McCarthy and Bobo's having an affair with Matt Gaetz.
I want footage of this little bitch thing, though. If it's out there, someone forward it to us. I need to see it.